Amen. That's exciting stuff. Always encouraging to see God increase our faith. Amen. Take your Bible and open to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6 tonight. Isaiah, chapter number 6. Amen. Pastor mentioned that Pastor David was taking our young people over to the other side, or not our young people, our parents over to the other side. He said it sounded like Mark chapter 5, and I was thinking there might be a storm. Amen. No, I appreciate Pastor David. I appreciate his ministry to our children and to our church. He's a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for our school. We are 5 days away from day one, and it's here. We're excited about it. And if you go upstairs and look at our room, you'll see we're not quite ready, but things are on track, and the Lord willing, we'll be ready by Monday. Lord willing, we'll be ready by Saturday. It'll be our orientation. And so there's just so much work that's been put in, and we appreciate all of those that have prayed and all of those that have labored. And you know, I was just thinking today that with Fellowship Baptist Academy, our hope is not, it's not in me. My hope's not in me. I hope no one else's is in me. I'm nothing. I don't want to put any confidence in my flesh. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But I thought about this book. This is where our hope is.
Amen.
And if we can saturate the hearts and the minds of our children with this book, their lives are going to change. And that doesn't have to take place at Fellowship Baptist Academy. That ought to be taking place at home. It certainly takes place at our church. But this book's what we're going to build the school on. Same thing we build the church on. There will be Bible memorization. There'll be Bible preaching. And so that'll make a difference.
Amen.
It's made a difference in my life. And so you pray that God would use His Word to change the hearts and challenge the hearts and conform us to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's our desire in the school. So you keep that in mind. Isaiah chapter 6 is our text. Now, before we read, how many of you now don't raise your hand, just think about this. I thought about this as I was studying. How many of you could tell me what the pastor preached Sunday morning? It's not fair, is it? Now, you would remember, maybe some of you remember right off immediately. If you're like me, you had to think about it for a while, but I had to go back and look. He preached out of Romans 1 about motivation, about motive for serving God, motive for missions. And so I began preparation for this message, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to talk about the same thing. I'm going to talk about motive, not out of Romans 1, but out of Isaiah 6. And I just believe God put it on my heart. And halfway through preparation for this, I began to think, didn't Pastor just preach this Sunday morning? And indeed he did, but God must think that we need some more. And, you know, Pastor was talking about just a moment ago about offerings, and I'm thankful that I belong to a church where, you know, we're not hounded every time by give, 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 or serve, serve, serve. And we ought to give, and we ought to serve. But you know what? If God, through His Word and His person, can't motivate us, then no man's going to be able to. And so I'm thankful for pure motives. And if we're going to do anything for God, listen, you can do something for God for a man. You can do so. I've done it before. I've done things for a man. I've done things for a preacher because he said so. But you know what? It doesn't last. But if we do something because of God, this is what God says in His Word, and I want to do something for God's cause, well, that's going to last. And so I see here a man in Isaiah chapter 6 that he got involved. And as Dr. Larson was here and he was preaching, it became very obvious that the need is laborers. It's always been the need. Jesus said it. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we heard Brother Larson over and over again talk about how many churches that there were that, you know what, there's places of ministry, we just need laborers. And, you know, that ought to burden us. And I see here a man in Isaiah chapter 6 that, well, he stepped up. He volunteered. He said, we're very familiar with verse number 8. Look, if you will, Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We see a man here in Isaiah 6 that said he volunteered. He said, I'll go. Wouldn't it be great to see some more people volunteer to serve God? I'm not up here to recruit. Listen, if God can't get you to serve him, I certainly can't do it. And there's more ways to serve God than to be a missionary. We all ought to be soul winners. There's opportunities for service here in the local church. We're always in need of prayer warriors. And there's opportunities to give. And God's gifted you. God's given you a gift that he wants you to exercise in the local church. And I just want to encourage you to use that gift. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in thee. And so I just want to encourage you to serve God with your life. So let's read Isaiah 6, starting in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 8 for our text. The Bible says, Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And so I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about here am I, send me. And we'll talk about motive for service. And so here we've seen a man, Isaiah, that volunteered. And I just want to simply ask the question, why? Isaiah, why did you do it? What made you say, here am I, send me? And some of the things that I believe motivated Isaiah be some of the same things that motivate you and I. There's three things I want to point out tonight in the next few minutes that I believe there are motivations for serving God. Number one, we see God's excellence. God's excellence, verse number one down through verse number five. God's excellence. I just want you to note just a few things here in the first four verses. Isaiah said in verse number one, he said that he saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I mean, Isaiah sees God in his majesty. He sees God in all of his glory. He sees him high and lifted up on a throne. All of these terms speak of God's excellence. You say, what does it mean that his train filled the temple? Well, I don't know that I know exactly, but if you think, those of you ladies that you wore a wedding dress, and some of you no doubt had one that had the long train. It was something that followed you, something that spoke to the beauty of that bride and that dress and her presentation. And I believe in a similar fashion, Isaiah's just trying to say there was something beautiful, there was something holy, there was something spectacular about the Lord here that I've seen. His train filled the temple. There's a few times in the Bible this word train is mentioned. One is talking about training our children. That's not the same definition, not the same word by definition. But the Queen of Sheba also, in the book, I believe it's 2 Kings, it talks about when she came to see Solomon that her train followed her. And it was just talking about her substance. It mentions her camel, and it mentions her wealth, and it was talking about her train followed her. And it just spoke of her character and who she was. So when Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, it just speaks of the majesty and the spectacular aspect of our God. Then verse number 2, it says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And I'll say something else about that in a moment. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And notice verse 4. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Now, obviously not smoke that would make you choke, but I believe this is talking about the Shekinah glory of God. Filled the house, the Bible said, there, the temple, there in verse number 1. Just Isaiah got up. He got a vision of the glory of God, the majesty of God. And so you say, what motivated Isaiah? Why did he volunteer and say, here am I, send me? Because he realized who it was that was calling him. It was one that was high and lofty. It was one that was holy, one that was glorious, one that was majestic. And I believe that if we're honest, I believe that as a whole, the church has lost that. We spoke of that some in the last week. We've heard preaching along those lines. But, you know, it do us some good just to spend some time meditating, just thinking about who God is. Just open your Bible, turn to one of the Psalms, and read it, and just think about how good and how great and how wonderful and how awesome your God is.
Amen.
You never know. You might find yourself like Isaiah saying, you know what, I think I ought to do something for that God.
Amen.
He's so wonderful. He's so high. He's so holy. I just want to serve him. I'll volunteer. Lord, here am I. Send me. So we see God's excellence. Notice, if you will, I want to call your attention to verse number 3, where the Bible says that these seraphims, they were crying unto another, one to another, and here's what they were saying, holy. The attribute that they wanted to focus upon of our God, they could have picked any of them. Our Lord has many attributes, but the one that they were praising was his holiness. And three times these creatures, these seraphims, they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They said the whole earth is full of his glory. And so, what is holiness? What does it mean? Well, certainly we don't have time to expound what holiness is, but the holiness of God just means he's separate. There's none like him.
Right.
There's none beside him. There's none like our God. And so, holy is what separates God from man. Holy is what separates God from any other God. Holy is what separates God from anything else. He's separate. And there's three things about his holiness that I want to draw your attention to. Verse number 2, his holiness is supernatural. It's a supernatural holiness. Now think about this with me. Look at verse number 2, and the Bible says that these seraphims, these heavenly creatures, now they're interesting. They've got 6 wings, the Bible says. And the Bible says that with 2 they cover their face, with 2 they cover their feet, and with 2, with twain, they're flying. And no doubt, these seraphims were sinless creatures. I don't think they'd have a spot there in the presence of God if they had sin, if there was sin found in them. So this holiness that they're praising, it means more than just mere sinlessness. These seraphims were probably sinless in and of themselves, but as they looked upon God, they said, there's something different about him. He's different than us. And so I just want you to know, I want to remind you, I know that you already know this, but our God, he's higher than the angels.
Right.
He's higher than the seraphim. He's greater than just being a sinless God. He's in another category all by himself.
Right.
And these seraphims, though they were sinless, they look at God and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's greater than us. He's higher than us.
Amen.
So his holiness is, it's supernatural. And they're we see that in verse number 2. Number 2, not only is his holiness supernatural, but we see that his holiness, it's stirring. It's stirring. Verse number 3, the Bible says, and one cried unto another. There's emotion involved here. And they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. And then in verse number 4, you find that at the presence of God, the posts of the door moved. And I mean, this is quite a scene. The holiness of God is something that is stirring. And so when we think about God and his holiness, we say, well, how in the world could the holiness of God motivate me to serve him? Well, you just got to understand there's no greater cause. I mean, there's no higher calling. That the God of heaven would look down upon people like us, just sinners saved by grace, and he would say, now whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I mean, we ought to be volunteering and say, that's a cause I'd love to get involved in.
Amen.
Isn't that what David said? David looked at his brethren, and he said, is there not a cause?
Have you forgotten the God that redeemed our forefathers? Have you forgotten that we were once slaves in Egypt, but now we've been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, and there's a giant here. He's defying the armies of God. Is there not a cause?
Right.
And when David, when he slew Goliath, he said that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. He wanted the children of Israel to know there's no greater God. There's no greater cause that you can be involved in. Now listen, you can spend your life and get a good education, get a lot of training, and make a lot of money. But can I tell you, there's a greater cause than making money.
That's right.
And you can get a lot of popularity, and you can meet a lot of people, and you can be popular in this world. Can I tell you, there's a greater cause than getting your name put up on a billboard somewhere. Amen. The God of heaven, the ones that even the sinless seraphims can't even look upon. And they're saying, He's holy, He's holy, He's holy. That God is looking down upon us, and He's saying, now whom shall I send? Who's next? Who wants to volunteer? And I don't think it's a coincidence tonight that we got some young people in here. And I just want to encourage you. You hear it all the time here, and you hear it because it's true. There is nothing greater you can do with your life than serve God.
Amen.
There's no greater cause. There's no greater person that you can be enlisted in His army. Amen. Than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these seraphim here, they draw attention to the supernatural aspect of God's holiness, but then His holiness, it's stirring. Notice they said, holy, 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 verse 3, is the Lord of hosts. They said, the whole earth is full of His glory. Now that's quite a perspective. Now, they said that, and I just said that I believe they're sinless, so I don't think they're telling a lie here. They're looking down upon the earth, and they're saying, you know what we see? We see the earth, and we see the whole earth is full of His glory. Now, I got to be honest with you. A lot of times when I look at this earth, I see sin. I see the effects of the curse. Right? I mean, you can't help it. It's just this world that we live in. But that's from our perspective. A lot of times we have the perspective of Solomon in Ecclesiastes. We're looking at life under the sun. And we're looking around and we're saying, man, it's all vanity. Everything we see people giving their money and spending their life for, we say it's all vanity, it's empty. But man, these seraphim there, the Bible says there that they, in verse number 2, they were above the place here where God was. So they were looking down, and as they were looking down upon the earth, they were seeing the earth through the lens of the character of God. They said, you know what, when you look at it from our perspective, well, we see something pretty incredible. We see the whole earth full of His glory. Now, I just want to encourage you with this because I need help in this area. May God help me as I live my life and I see things happening. May God help me just to be more aware of His glory. Just to be more aware of His beauty. Just to be more aware of His holiness. Just to be more aware of who He is and what He's done. It's so easy just to be distracted and to be caught up in only what man does and what man can see. But would God just awaken in us a God consciousness so that we could, when we look upon this earth, we would look at it through the lens of who God is in His holiness. Amen?
Amen.
I want to encourage you with that. So His holiness, it's stirring, but then we see His holiness, it's serious. You see in verse number 5, Isaiah's response to this. He said, then said I, he said, woe is me. And can I tell you, that'll be your response. You get in the presence of God and you and I begin to think about who God is and how holy He is and how righteous He is. The proper response is, woe is me. He said, for I am undone. I don't line up here. I don't meet the standard. And who does? Nobody does. He said, I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. And I like that. He told us about a king in verse number 1 with a lowercase k. King Uzziah died, but he said, you know what? This king looks different than that one did. King Uzziah, I believe, reigned for 52 years in Israel and gave Israel a lot of stability in that time. And I can imagine at his passing, there was probably a lot of insecurity. There's probably a lot of people that were in doubt and wondering, now, what are we going to do now? Kind of sounds like the day in which we live. A lot of people, they're looking at things and they trust in a money, or they trust in a man, or they trust in all kind of things. And then when God takes that away, they, they have nothing. But Isaiah said here, you know what? God took some of the things I was looking to, and God took away some of our stability and allowed me to see who was really on the throne.
Amen.
And so God may be allowing some things to disappear from your life so that you could see who the real king, the capital K king is. And Isaiah said, "For mine eyes," verse number 5, "have seen the king," capital K, "the Lord of hosts." And can I tell you, verse number 5, that's where God wants to get every one of us. That's where God wants you. You see, God is looking for volunteers. But what he's looking for is for volunteers that realize, "Lord, I want to serve you, but I don't have what it takes. God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Lord, I will speak your word. I will do right. Lord, I will do your bidding. But God, I am going to need your help because I am undone and I'm just clay. And in my flesh there is no good thing." And can I tell you, when you get to that point, business is going to start picking up.
Amen.
God looks down and he says, "Now there's somebody I can use. Somebody that realizes that they're nothing. Somebody that realizes that if they're going to do anything, it's going to be because I enabled them." And so, number one, I believe Isaiah, he volunteered because he's seen God's excellence. Hold your place there in Isaiah. I just want to share Psalm 96, a few verses with you, just because this psalm literally changed my life. God used it in a mighty way. Just to open my eyes to this truth I'm trying to convey to you tonight, Psalm 96, about motive to serve God. Do you want to serve God? I hope you want to serve God. I believe saved
Amen.
People want to serve God.
Amen.
And so, but every now and then, we need to be reminded. We need motivation. And I don't believe there's a greater motivation than this. There's other motivations that we may talk about. But this is the greatest. And so Psalm 96, here's what the psalmist said, one of my favorite psalms. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." Now, isn't that some great things to do? Don't you wish you could see some more people singing to the Lord? I mean, don't you wish you could witness some more people showing forth his salvation from day to day? Don't you wish that you could look out and you could see people declaring God's glory to others? Why don't we see it? I think we fail to see verse number 4. Why would you do all that? Why do people sing? Why do they witness? Why do they preach? Verse 4, "For the Lord is great." That's why. "For the Lord is great. He's holy, he's high, he's lifted up, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods."
Amen.
And I can remember the day, I could take you right to the church pew I was sitting on, when God just turned the lights on in my soul and said, "That's it. That's why I want you to serve me." You know, sometimes we just get discouraged in the work. I wasn't tired of the work, but there was a place in my life when I was getting tired in the work. And God turned the lights on and I said, "That's it. That's what I'm missing. Man, I've been doing this for me. I've been doing it for other people. And God, I want to do it for you. You're worthy. God, you're great." Can I tell you, God's great?
Amen.
"For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." Amen. Isaiah seen God's excellence. Number two, go back to Isaiah 6. And then we see that Isaiah, he experienced God's enablement. Look, if you will, quickly, verse number 6 and verse number 7. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand." Now, this is interesting. "Which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar." Now, this is just a side note, and I just got to share this because the Bible is just an interesting book, isn't it? Now, this seraphim, he's got a live coal in his hand, all right? But he used the tongs to get it off the altar. I mean, I was reading that, and I just said, "Well, that's odd." He used the tongs to get off the altar, but this creature is obviously, he's supernatural, he's holy, and he takes the coal there off the altar, and it's burning, it's live, and he puts it on his hand. Now, I don't recommend you go home and do that with your charcoal, amen. But it's just something I read, and I said, "Wow, that's really something." Has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to draw your attention to that, okay? Verse number 7, here's what he did. "He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." You know what God was doing? He's saying, Isaiah, I'm going to take away all your excuses. Isaiah, I realize, verse number 5, you're at a good place. And you realize that you're not capable, and you realize that you're undone, and you realize that you're a man of unclean lips, and you've realized that just in and of yourselves, Isaiah, you don't measure up. But Isaiah, don't use that for an excuse, because I'm glad that the God that reveals our weaknesses has also provided for our enablement. Amen. The God that has revealed our contamination, well, he's also provided for our cleansing. Amen. And we see that here in verse number 6 and verse number 7. God's enabling. Now, what was done here on the altar? You see, there's an altar there in verse number 6. What was done on the altar was applied to Isaiah's need. Now, I thought about this. You know, we're in New Testament times. We're New Testament Christians. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 that we have an altar. And if you read Hebrews 13, and you'll find that our altar, well, it's Calvary, it's the cross. And I'm thankful that Isaiah, God took something that had happened here on the altar, and he provided it for Isaiah's need and enabled Isaiah. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? God did the same thing for me. That altar that I have, that cross, Calvary, Jesus shed his precious blood to cleanse me of my sin and not only save me, but the Bible says the blood of his son cleanseth us from all sin. It provides enablement. Amen. His blood does more than save my soul. It equips me, it enables me to serve him. And I'm thankful that God took what Jesus did on that altar, on that cross, and applied it to my need. And he's looking down and he sees people that are inadequate, and he sees people that are prone to make excuse. You remember Moses, he said, Lord, I'm not a man of eloquent speech. He said, that's all right, Moses, I can fix that. And he sees some of us, and we say, but God, I'm timid, but God, I'm not able, but God, I don't have the intelligence, I don't have the boldness. And God says, I've already taken care of all of that. And he points us to Calvary, and he says, listen, this is not about what you can do, this is about what I've done. I just want you to trust me. Amen? And so that I'm thankful for God's enablement. Listen, God, I'm just thankful that God uses men. He uses ordinary men. You read the New Testament, and he used fishermen. I mean, the Bible, the world looked at them as ignorant and unlearned men. You know what? The world took knowledge of those men, that they had been with Jesus. They said, there's something different about them. They might be ignorant and unlearned. There's something different about them. Amen. That's the crowd I want to be a part of. I may never impress this world with my intelligence or any of my accolades. I want the world to be able to look at me and say, you know what? There's something different about that man. I believe he's been with Jesus. And if they see that, it'll be because God enabled it. And I just want to encourage you. Listen, if you're going to do anything for God, don't make any excuses. They're invalid. Because who God calls, he enables. God would never give us a commission that we couldn't fulfill. And hadn't he given us a great one? To preach the gospel to every creature? Now, wouldn't it be cruel of God to command us to do that but never enable us to do it? So you know what that means? God has enabled his church to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. If there's failure, it's us. It's not God. Isaiah seen, number one, God's excellent. Number two, he's seen God's enablement. And then lastly, number three, God's employment. Let's pick up, and I want you to read with me verse number 9 down through verse number 13. I just want to tell you, man, it's great up to verse number 8. And man, Isaiah's excited. We see the holiness of God, and Isaiah's volunteering to serve God. And then we actually see what God wants Isaiah to do, and we're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And can I tell you that God's work sometimes can be difficult? You see, God doesn't always call us to be successful in the world's eyes. But can I tell you can be successful in God's eyes if you'll just be faithful to do what he's called you to do. That's what success is in God's economy. You just be faithful and serve me and let me deal with the results.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Listen, there may be somebody you've been trying to witness to for years, and you just hadn't seen any fruit. Maybe there's a ministry you've been involved in. You've been discouraged because you just hadn't seen much fruit from it. Can I just encourage you? It's not always about seeing fruit. It's just about, let's just be faithful to the task. Often God hides a lot of fruit from us. I've learned that. I know He hides a lot from me because He knows if I see too much of it, I'll get proud of myself. And I'll start thinking about, man, I'm so great. Look what I did. And God will have to allow me to, He'll humble me. And so God don't always let us see our fruit. But let's just be faithful to serve God. He's worthy. Whether we see results or we don't, we're enlisted in the greatest cause in heaven and earth. Amen. God's employment, it's difficult. Look at verse number 9. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. I just got to put myself in Isaiah's shoes. Sometimes, let's just be honest, the night that I came down to an altar and told God that I would preach, and I just made myself available. I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That night, I didn't have this in mind. I thought, well, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with me. I'm excited. But for Isaiah here, God says, you know what, Isaiah, I want you to go and preach, and I just want to let you know, when you preach, their heart's going to get harder. And they're going to get more blind. How about that? Talk about a difficult work. Look at verse number 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, the land be utterly destroyed. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But, verse 13, I like this, but yet in it shall be a tenth. Isaiah, I got a remnant. Isaiah, listen, there's somebody there that's going to listen. Isaiah, I've reserved a tenth. And I believe that's why God called Isaiah. And listen, we may not always see the results. We may not always see what we want to see. But can I tell you, there's somebody there that needs us to minister to them. There's a reason why God's gifted you. There's a reason why God's gifted me. Because there's somebody. It may not be the majority. It may be an individual that God wants us to reach. And God said, Isaiah, I've got a remnant. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Now, verse number 8. Here's where we're going to close. Go back to verse 8. God's employment. God's employment. Verse number 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go? Notice these next two words. For us. For us. I thought about God's employment. And many of us, we have experience working for a boss, right? Some of you work for one today. And you know what? There's good bosses that I've had, and there's bosses that were not as good. Doesn't that make all the difference? You know, on the job, you've got your employer, your boss. You've got the customer. You've got your coworkers. And one of those three can really make a difference. You know what? I thought about that. You could have a good boss, and that really helps you if the customers are hard to deal with, right? You can have a good boss, and that really helps you when the coworkers are hard to deal with. And I use that analogy because, and I'm not trying to be irreverent, but listen, our boss is God. He's the Lord. And can I tell you, as an employer, in His army, in His service, you don't get any better. Amen. And those that were trying to reach the customers, can't they be hard sometimes? And we went door knocking, and we had a man get saved. Brother Greg Keyes was able to lead a man to the Lord. My wife and I, we were able to talk to one person all evening. Listen, it wasn't glamorous. So sometimes when you go out there, the customer side of it's not always pleasant. And then sometimes the coworker side of it, that's us. Sometimes we give each other problems. Sometimes we don't always get along. But can I tell you, we got the best employer. And for me, I can just tell you, in the jobs that I've worked, that's always made the difference. And so you may look at your circumstance and you say, you know what, I'm not happy with the results that I've seen, or I'm having some trouble with my fellow laborers. Well, just listen, get your eyes on the employer. Amen. The seraphims are looking at him and they're saying, hey, from our perspective, man, the whole earth is full of His glory. So examine your heart tonight and think about, you know, what's my attitude? Do I find myself complaining about the way things are a lot, or do I find myself in need maybe to get a fresh look at really who God is, His holiness, His excellence, His enablement, His employment? He said, who shall go for us? He said, don't you forget who you're doing this for. There's a lot of great cause. There's a lot of great motives. There's a burning hell. There's people there right now. But God didn't tell Isaiah, go for them. There's lost people. But God didn't say, Isaiah, go for them. He said, Isaiah, who's going to go for me? Who's going to go for us? And so I believe there couldn't be a greater cause. 3 John, I'm not going to go there, but you look at 3 John, I believe it's about verse number 7 or 8. John there is exhorting the brethren. He said, you know what, these laborers, these fellow laborers, they're going to come through, they're fellow helpers to the truth. And he said, when they come through, he said, I want you to help them. Why? He said, because they went forth for the sake of His name. He said, they got the same cause we've got. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you, volunteer. There's no greater cause. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank You for Your word. And God, I pray that You would use Your word to challenge and even change our hearts. I pray that You would help us to have the right perspective. Help us to get our eyes upon You and evaluate our motives. I pray that Your excellence, Your enablement, and Your employment would motivate us to worship and to serve You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Tremendous truth, stirring truth, challenging truth. We're going to ask Emily, would you come and just play us a hymn?